Several years ago, the Good Friday print edition of the New York Times included an unusual article from Caracas, the capital of Venezuela. And the fact that this article appeared on Good Friday was very interesting to me from a theological perspective, but I think it was, you know, it was just an interesting coincidence, an odd coincidence on the part of the newspaper. And this article was describing a 17-story mausoleum covered in bright white ceramic tiles that had been imported from Spain. And this mausoleum had slowly begun to loom over all of the historic buildings around it in Caracas. And when completed, it was intended to hold the remains of Simón Bolívar, who had led that nation's war of independence and died in 1830. Now, as for the modern design of this mausoleum, this new structure, and what that meant, the article noted that, quote, it looks to many Venezuelans like the world's biggest skateboard ramp. And to others, it evokes a parking garage, a shopping mall, a bridal veil, a sailing ship, or a drive-in movie screen. Some simply call it an outrage. But to its creators, it is an eloquent tribute to the father of the nation, the quasi-mythical inspiration for President Hugo Chavez's socialist revolution. The article said the mausoleum will almost certainly be interpreted as one of the signature architectural works of Mr. Chavez's revolution and a measure of his government's aspirations. Some already see in it a reflection of Mr. Chavez's ego, with Mr. Chavez battling cancer and his mortality on nearly everyone's mind. Some also wonder whether the tomb might be intended to have another human occupant someday. The reporter observed that on the inside, the vast space evokes a cathedral, majestic and solemn, which fits with the last word at the end of the article from Orlando Martinez, who was a member of the design team, and he said, "This is a place of worship." Mr. Chavez died the following year, and his body rests somewhere other than inside the world's biggest and holiest skateboard ramp. However, his handpicked successor, Nicolas Maduro, who remains in office to this day, did repeatedly call the late president the Redeemer Christ of the Americas and referred to himself and others as apostles. In contrast to that modern-day version of the emperor worship of ancient Rome, I once discovered a sepia-toned photograph of a very different kind of resting place. And I found it years ago as I was looking through some random historical images from Forsyth County, North Carolina, where I was born. Have you ever, like, seen a photograph somewhere, or maybe even in someone else's house, or you see an old ad from the past, or just something that evokes something from your childhood, or something that happened to you long ago? And that's kind of what happened when I found this photograph. I thought, wow, this captures a moment in time that represents so much of my childhood in one photograph. Taken in Winston-Salem in 1974, it shows a family, and that family are there together cleaning a headstone and decorating a grave in God's Acre, which is the term for a cemetery in the Moravian Church. And they were doing this to prepare for Easter Day. And I knew enough to figure out that this photograph of an older woman and a middle-aged man and a young girl, she was holding one of her stuffed toys. I think it was a stuffed bunny rabbit. These three different generations, I knew that this had been taken on Good Friday, because that's what people do in Winston-Salem. They get ready for Easter, and they go out together as a family and prepare the graveyards on Good Friday. And I imagine that the headstone, plain, flat, square, and marble like all the others, symbolizing equality before God, I thought that probably marks the grave of the woman's husband. And 2 days later, those three individuals would have almost certainly come back there with all the rest of their family to attend the Moravian Easter sunrise service, and there they would join all the other members of their congregation and process to the sound of brass bands playing antiphonal chorales as they walk from the church out to the graveyard where they would together proclaim the resurrection faith. And I could just imagine all of that the moment I saw that photograph. This morning, the words of Mark's gospel have painted for us a picture of three other followers of Jesus, three women: Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, who come to his tomb early on the first day of the week. And they have come to complete his funeral by anointing his body not only with aromatic spices, but also with their tears. Finding the stone rolled away from the entrance of an empty tomb, they hear the words of a messenger from God: "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him." Filled with Easter terror instead of Easter joy, they flee from the tomb, and they don't say anything to anyone. Easter joy would find them later at home in Galilee with the other followers of Jesus in the presence of the risen Messiah. And that's where they would know that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And that's where the empty tomb would find its meaning. Easter joy awaits us too. It breaks into our ordinary routines through small, concrete acts of love that make us less and less fearful as we come to know more and more that God will always have the last word. So remember that today as you leave. God will always have the last word, a word of life that has destroyed sin and death. I don't know what Simón Bolívar would have thought about a new mausoleum that was meant to provide a place for the people of Venezuela to come and worship him. According to Francisco Sesto, who was previously the Minister of State for the Revolutionary Transformation of Greater Caracas, I don't know how he fit that on a business card. That was his actual title at the time. And when he had that title, he was in charge of the mausoleum project. And he said that Bolívar once said these words: "I will die as I was born, naked." Well, that's true for all of us. And what matters at the last day isn't the kind of physical adornment that surrounds us at the grave, but a different kind of adornment, one of love, a love that we have seen in the face of Jesus and received from him as our risen Savior. Some of you may have heard a recent and fascinating interview that Terry Gross did with Bart Ehrman on NPR's Fresh Air. Ehrman is a scholar of the New Testament and the development of early Christianity at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. His wife is a professor at Duke University and also a believing Episcopalian Christian. Ehrman himself was an evangelical Christian who eventually let go of his Easter faith. But having said that, he is very fair in his treatment of early Christian history in his new book, The Triumph of Christianity: How a Forbidden Religion Swept the World. It's about how Christianity went from a few followers of Jesus to becoming the religion of the Roman Empire and Christianizing the West. And the triumph that he refers to in the title of his book is not a triumph of force or coercion, but one of love. Ehrman made an astonishing claim in his interview when he said this: "At the rate Christianity was growing at the time of the Emperor Constantine's conversion to Christianity, it almost certainly would have taken over the empire anyway. And it moved people away from the ancient world's ideology of dominance and toward an ideology of love, an ideology of love that included non-Christians too. It was a love that embraced everyone, including the unlovely and the unlovable, not the conversion of the emperor that conquered the empire in the name of the risen Christ." It turns out, by the way, that I actually know the man in the photograph from the 1970s that I described a few minutes ago. I didn't know it when I saved it, but I showed it to a few people, and then I discovered very happily that he's the Right Reverend Graham Wrights. Bishop Wrights once sent me a handwritten note that I've kept through the years. I still have it. I kept it because of the encouragement it gave me as a young person who came to believe that love is stronger than sin and death. And it was just one of those small concrete acts of love that brings into ordinary life a little of the joy of Easter. Most of us have encountered someone like that in our life. All of us can be someone like that in this life. Bishop Wright's son, the younger brother of the girl in the photograph, is the same age as I am. We were in junior high school together. And now he's an ordained minister in the Moravian Church, just like his father and his grandfather, whose grave was the setting for the photograph. When his grandfather was laid to rest in 1956, at the end of the burial liturgy in God's Acre, the Moravians gathered there would have sung words familiar to them and to me. And these few words, which I've shared from this pulpit before, summarize the faith I received as a child, a faith rooted in the resurrection that frees me to love. The Savior's blood and righteousness, my beauty is, my glorious dress. Thus well arrayed I need not fear, when in his presence I appear. My friends, the good news of Easter is that you can be adorned with that divine love too, a perfect love that casts out fear on this day, the day of resurrection. Amen.